we said Parshas Re'eh, and we find an interesting chazal, which is the Sifri, which is quite difficult to understand. The Sifri goes on the pasuk Shamor v'shamart v'shamata es kol hadrima eila, etc. You should guard and you should listen, understand all these things. Says the Sifri the following: Im shamata ma'at, if you listen a little bit, sofcha lishmo harbe, in the end you're going to be able to listen a lot, hear a lot. Im shamata ma'at, sofcha lishmo harbe, if at the onset you guarded, you watched a little bit, sofcha, in the end you'll be able to lishmo harbe, you'll be able to guard, watch even more. So far so good. However, the Sifri continues, Im shamarta masha shamata, if you kept that which you heard, then sofcha lishmor masha lo shamata. In the end, you're going to then keep even those things which you didn't hear. So the question is obvious. How could it be that a person will keep something which he hasn't heard? How can you keep something you didn't hear? You don't know what to keep. How can you keep it? That's the obvious question from the of the Sifri. So I think one possible answer could be that sometimes a person can do a mitzvah and he might think of it as a small mitzvah, so to speak, if there is such a thing. But in the end, the mitzvah brings tremendous repercussions, things we could would have never dreamed of, some things which you'll never even know of. But mitzvahs can very often bring tremendous, tremendous things with it. Therefore, by doing a little bit, what you know, sometimes you'll accomplish things which you've never even heard of. That's the idea, the Medrash. I'd like to share with you some stories which bring out this idea. One is found in one of Rav Krohn's book, Reflections of the Magi. He relates the following story about Rav Shach Zatzal. When he was already an older man, one day somebody came in to see him, and the gabbai said, "I'm sorry, he's not available today because he's recuperating from yesterday. Yesterday he had a very difficult day, and it was very taxing on him, and he's recuperating, so he can't see anybody." So this person investigated what exactly happened the day before. So what had happened? It was a very stormy day here in Israel. And Rav Shach turned to his grandson and said, "Listen, I want you to arrange a car for me. I have to go to Levaya in Haifa." So the grandson said, "But Zaidi, you know, it's terrible weather out. It's freezing cold and rainy, and Levaya is, of course, outside. And isn't it?" He goes, I must go. So he says, "But still," he says, "listen, if you don't arrange a car for me, I'm going to take the bus." So the grandson said, "Okay, fine, and he arranged a car. So they're driving to Haifa, a couple of hours, and he asked the grandson, kept asking Rav Shach, "Which Levaya, who is he?" He goes, "Lo chashuv, not important, it's a woman, certain woman, I must go to Levaya." So grandson was racking his head. He said, "Who could it be? What great woman was nift? Obviously, if the Rashiva had made such an effort to go to this Levaya, it must be some great, you know, woman, prominent woman." And but he didn't hear of anything on the radio or anything of any woman that was nift there, and you know, specifically in Haifa. Okay, he figured he'll see when he gets there. So finally, they arrive in Haifa, and it's pouring rain, whatever, windy. They get out of the car and they make their way towards the into the basic forest, and they come to the Levaya, and he was shocked to see there was just barely a minion of people, and for this woman. So they finished the Levaya, Rav Shach said Kaddish, and the mourner's Kaddish, and that was it. The whole thing, very short, quick, nothing, no big deal. So now the grandson was totally baffled. He said, "What's going on over here? Schlepped this woman, his little minion of a people. Obviously, he's not some great, renowned woman. So what's going on?" Anyways, still would remain puzzled. And they headed back to the car to drive home. So the grandson's holding Rav Shach's hand, leading him to the car. And just a few steps before the car, Rav Shach stops. and he lets go of his the grandson's hand, and he's like, his head is down, and he's in thinking, like in great thought. And the grandson's like, oh, standing there, and it's raining down on Rosh Hashanah, the water's, you know, soaking him in this, and the wind, and he's just not getting into the car. He's just standing there in thought. So eventually, he, you know, got up from his, so to speak, trance and made his way into the car. And that was it, and they made their way back. So finally, when they got back, the grandson couldn't hold back. And he goes, Zaini, you got to explain to me what is going on. Who was this woman? What's this Levi all about? Come on. So Rosh Hashanah said, fine, I'll share with you the following history. He says, when I was a boy, I was 12 years old at the time in Europe. And they opened up a yeshiva for Iluim, for very, very talented boys. And I really wanted to go to the yeshiva, so I tried out for the yeshiva, and I got accepted. Now, it was an excellent yeshiva, except the conditions were not so great. If you couldn't afford to, you know, board by somebody in the area, so then you had to stay in the yeshiva. And a yeshiva meant either sleeping on the bench or sleeping on the floor. So, as it happened, Rav Shach was given a bench, even though he was only 12 years old, and most of the boys were already, you know, a few years older than him. But they say it was not because of his tremendous, they saw his tremendous Yerushalmi, whatever, and he's somebody special. Anyway, who's got the great reward of having a bench to sleep on the floor. So, he said, okay, this way or that, he was able to, you know, get by. The few food was also very meager, and meager rations, but he got by. He said, that was all fine in the spring and the summer. He said, until the winter came. Now, the winter, he said, was unbearable. The cold, the biting cold, and sleeping on this bench, and there's no heat in the building, and he couldn't handle it. One day, he says, I get a letter. I get a letter from my uncle, and this was on a Thursday, he says. A letter from my uncle, and my uncle says, listen, why should you suffer like this? No proper condition, not good, you know, food. He says, why don't you come and be an apprentice by me? He says, his uncle was a blacksmith. And he says, you know, I'm Baruch Hashem, very successful. So come, you'll learn by me. You know, you can still be Kaveh Itim LaTorah, you know, but you'll work and learn the trade, become a blacksmith. Like me, and you'll be set for life. So, he says, Rav Shach says, I was holding this letter in my hand the whole day, and I was back and forth. Should I go? Should I not go? Yes, no. Anyways, by Friday, next day, I decided that, yes, I'm going. I'm going to go to my uncle, become a blacksmith. He says, these conditions here are not fitting anyways for learning. And, okay, I decided to go. So I said, you know, I'm not going to go yet. This was on Thursday. He says, I'm not going to go yet. I'm going to wait till Shabbos. And after Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos, I'm going to pack my bags and go to my uncle. Finish. That was my decision. Okay. So, that was on Thursday. Then came Friday. What happens on Friday? All of a sudden on Friday, this woman appears in the yeshiva. She says she wants to speak to the Rosh Yeshiva. Fine, Rosh Yeshiva speaks to her. Says, what can I do for you? Woman says, my husband is a traveling salesman, and he goes from place to place, and he was in this area over here, which is actually where his family lives, and all of a sudden he died. He dropped dead. This was just about a month ago. And so I lost my husband. I came here, you know, to Shiva or whatever, so Shiva and be with his family, which live in this area. And that's it. So he was he used to sell like blankets and things like that. And now I have these blankets which I'm not interested in schlepping back with me to my house, and I'm not going to sell them. So I thought maybe the yeshiva could use some couple of blankets. So Rav Shiva said, "Sir, you know, wonderful. That'll be great help." So she gave over the blankets to Rosh Shiva, and that was it. And she left. So the Rosh Hashiva gave one of these blankets to Rav Shach. And these were like real Russian blankets, these quilts, you know, with goose feathers, real nice, warm, you know, Russian blanket. And he used it. And he said, that night, that Friday night, when I got that blanket, I hadn't had a sleep like that, you know, in months. And it was like, so he said to himself, if I can have this blanket, I think I can get by the winter. I can get by the winter. So he canceled his plans and going back to his uncle, and he stayed in yeshiva, and of course the rest is history. And from then on, he decided no more blacksmithery. So Rav Shach said, this woman, she never had any children, and never remarried. And eventually she made it her way to Eretz Yisrael, and I heard that she was living in Haifa. And this was the woman who was Nifteret, and whose Levaya we went to today, this woman. So I felt I had to go, because, you know, it was because of her that I ended up staying in yeshiva. I would have ended up being a blacksmith if it wasn't for this woman. And therefore, I owed her some karas hatov, so that's why I came to the Levaya. So the grandson said, okay, Zaidi, you answered everything except for one thing. He says, why is it, though, that when we walked to the car, all of a sudden you stopped in the middle of the rain and you stood there and got all wet? And so why didn't you just go straight into the car? That he didn't explain. So he says, I'll tell you, you know, as I was walking to the car, before I got in, I was thinking, you know, I really owe this woman a karasat tov. I owe her a lot. But I wanted to really feel that a karasat tov. So what did I do? I tried to stand outside in the freezing cold and the rain to feel a little bit how it felt when I was a boy and without that, the quilt. And then, of course, with the quilt, how I felt warm after that. And therefore, I wanted to feel that a little bit. So therefore, I stood out in the cold just to feel that biting cold so that I could remember and my karasat tov could be that much more complete. That's the Rav Shach's recollection. So we see from here, here we have this woman. Again, what did she do? She, left over blanket, right, gave the yeshiva. Okay, probably didn't think it was the greatest act in the world, but from her came Rav Shach. Shach came from this woman, from this fact. Therefore, if you said the taitch in the Chazal, im shamarta, ma shamata, sofcha lishmor ma shalom shamata. In the end, you'll be able to do great things that you never even heard of. It's like this woman, she never dreamed that she was going to create a Gadol HaDor, but she did. So we have to find a similar Maisa brought down in the Aleinu L'Shabeach, that there was once a man who had a little, call it here in Israel, a kiosk. Sell, little candies and things like that, and a little stand. And one day, this person is in Tel Aviv on Allenby Street, and this person is visiting the kiosks, and he notices that there are these two distinguished-looking Talmidei Chachamim that are speaking to the owner. So this person comes up afterwards to the owner and says, tell me something, who are these two distinguished-looking people? They look like Talmidei Chachamim. So the owner said, yeah, they are. They're big Talmidei Chachamim, in fact. He says, yeah, who are they? She says, oh, they're my sons. She says, they're your sons? She says, wow. How are you Zoche? In what merit did you have to have a couple of sons like this? So he said, well, I'll tell you. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what I did exactly. But perhaps it could be the following thing. So he says, way back when I was a young man, married man, and I was living in Russia, and I eked out a parnassa, also there selling, you know, food and thing, and it got by, my wife and I, and we decided to put a little bit of money away for tzedakah every month, put a little more, until we put aside quite a bit of money. But I didn't know what to do with it. You know, what should I do with the tzedakah money? So I decided to go to the Rav and then ask him what I can do. So the Rav heard that we had some money for tzedakah. He said, listen, he says, you want my advice? He says, there are two young men, and they're actually boys, they're in cheder, and they're very talented in learning. And they kind of outgrew already the cheder system. And I really think that they should go to Yeshiva Gedola, even though they're young, they're just boys, but since they're so talented in learning, they need to grow, needs place to grow. And I really want to send them to Slobodka Yeshiva. says, but to send boys to Slam Bat Yeshiva is not so simple. You have to cost money and send them to Yeshiva, and of course clothing and food, and then these boys have no means whatsoever, and so I can't go send them. So if you'd like to sponsor these boys, he says, that's a mitzvah. He says, don't worry, you won't lose out from it. So my wife and I sat down, we decided, yes, good, that's what we're going to do with the money. So we handed over the money to the Rav, and he says, here, we want to send these, sponsor these boys to send them to Slavovka Yeshiva. So he says that, sure enough, that's what we did. And from what we hear, the boys did really, really well there, and they grew, and they're learning, etc., and they became Talmidei Chacham. So so he says, I don't know, could be, maybe in that schus, that, you know, we did that, that we were zochet to two sons of our own that are Talmidei Chacham. So the man heard, and he says, I'm just curious, do you happen to remember the names of the two boys that you sent to Slobodka Yeshiva? So he said, nah, I don't remember exactly. He says, come on, can you think, who can't remember the names of the boys? He says, wait a second, let me think. He's thinking, yeah, and I remember. Oh, great, so what was their names? He says, one of them was Aaron Cutler, and the other name was Yaakov Kamenetsky. So these are the two boys. Once again, say, okay, put some stock of money aside, yeah, we'll send these boys to Yeshiva. Do you ever know that out of them are going to come the two Gedolei Ador, Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Aaron Cutler? Similar, one other story along these same lines is also told. Rav Simcha Kook, he's the Rav of Rehovot, and he recalls a story with his mother. His mother was Rebbetzin to his father, which is Rav Rafal Kook, who was a Rav of Tveria. And so his mother was once in the kitchen, whatever, taking care of things. She was looking outside the window, and she saw a worker, and worker working out in the fields, like an older man, and working in the fields. So she noticed something different about him that wasn't your average worker. She looked. He looked like a person that was the Yiras Shemayim on his face. He was, he washed before he ate, and the Til Sidayim, and said Kavana, the Brachas, and Amotzi, and he wasn't going to ask them a worker in the field. So she called him in, and says, here, come in, let me give you something to eat and drink, whatever, cool off a little bit. And she asked him, you know, a little bit, who are you? Tell me, do you have you have children? So then he gave a groan. He says, oh. She says, what's wrong? He says, yeah, you know, I have a couple of sons, but the authorities took them away and they put them in a kibbutz, not far from here. And he says, I'm really, really worried about their future. If, you know, they're ruchnias in this non, you know, kosher environment, this kibbutz. So she said, which kibbutz? So he said, it's not far from here. And he named the kibbutz. So she goes, oh, yeah, of course, I know that place. It's really not far. She says, would you mind if I take them out of there? So he says, if you could, you know, great. So she, right then, on the spot, she leaves, she goes to this kibbutz, she finds these two boys, and says, tell me, are you happy? And they said, no. Would you like to come with me? And they said, yeah, please take us. So she said, okay, she arranged it, and she took the two boys out of the kibbutz, and she set them up in a proper Talmud Torah, etc. And the end being that one of these boys, who was he? His name was now Rav Reuven Elbaz. He's one of the leaders of the Balei Tshuva movement, and in Yerushalayim has a yeshiva or a chaim. And this is the boy. It's the boy that she, you know, again, what did she do? Sach HaKol went nearby kibbutz, took him out, put him in Talmud Torah, and from him came a great Torah personality. I'll conclude with one last maisa of brings out this idea as well of how a person, you know, again, does something seemingly in his mind a small act, and then from there grows and tremendous things come from it. There's once a Mashkiach Kashrus. He worked in Moshav Shoresh, just in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and he used to take upon himself to arrange a minyan every day and for mincha, you know, for people around. So one day he's trying to get a minyan together and only had nine. needed one more. So he was looking around, and he went outside, and he saw Moshavnik, this older man, and, you know, in shorts, sandals, you know. And he said, would you mind coming in for a daven? He goes, you know, I don't daven. So he says, oh, no, listen. And he told him how great the mitzvah is, whatever. Please come in. We need you. It's a tenth, and you're going to be the tenth. Big, big merit, big swiss. So he said, okay, fine. So he puts the kippah on his head, and he walks into the minyan. So just after he walks in, another person, you know, came in as well. So he saw he wasn't needed for the minyan anymore. So he says, okay, you know, gave a little wave and walked out. That was it. So, okay, that's the seem not any, it didn't seem like any special story, mice or anything. But what happened was, this Mashgiach Kashrus, 10 years later, he, for a while already, he's left the job in Moshav Shoresh, and he was wherever he was. And one night, 10 years later, he has a dream. And in his dream was this Moshavnik, this person that came to join the Minyan. He appeared to him in a dream, and he had recognized him, and he said, listen, he says, I was just a Nifter a month ago, and I came into, you know, up to the next world. And he said, you have no idea how much sachar I received for joining that minion that you, you know, convinced me to join 10 years ago. Okay? Unfathomable amount of reward I'm having here because of that. And not only that, in merit of that mitzvah, I was given the privilege to come appear to you in this and down there in that world, and I want you to go to my son, who's a total non-religious person, and please go to him and try to convince him to say Kaddish for me. Okay? And I'll tell you where he lives, here's his address, whatever, please do me a favor to try to convince him to say Kaddish. So he woke up from the dream, and he was like, wow, he couldn't believe it. You know, it's 10 years ago in his birth, but it was vivid, it was clear, and he had the name, and he has the address, so he says, okay. So he went to, went to the address, found, sure enough, that's exactly where the son was living, and he introduced himself, told him the maisa, and convinced him to say Kaddish, and sure enough, he did. Ended up saying Kaddish for his father. So here we have a mamish an extreme. What did this Moshavnik do? I mean, he didn't even daven, right? He didn't even join the minyan. He just went to join the minyan and just the kavana, just the decision to, yeah, fine, I will daven with you. That's it. Because in the end, he didn't stay. He turned around and went back after. Just the decision to make do the mitzvah, the conviction to do the mitzvah, that itself, he says, he's mentioned, it brought tremendous schar and schos, and he was able to come back, which not very many people have that. The mayor is able to come back in this world and, you know, a vision to somebody and tell him to do something for him. And all that was in, just because he decided he was going to join the minyan. So you can imagine, if this is, for such a thing, there's so much schos, then there's a tremendous schos of waiting for those of us who not only decide to join the minyan, but join the minyan, double the minyan, and three times a day, etc., etc. The schar is unfathomable. So like we said, that could be one possible idea in the Midrash of if you listen to and do the things that you heard, sometimes you can do things that even that you didn't hear. You can accomplish things that you have no idea. It's a shame if we keep this in mind and realize the tremendous effects that our mission, our mitzvahs and ma'asim have should give us incentive to do more. Kadosh Baruch Hu should see all our efforts and crown them with the final redemption of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mhira v'yameinu.